You're listening to the Simo and Jordan podcast. If listening persists, please see your therapist. Well, it's obviously too late for him. He's been listening far too long.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
Simo, a big competition has been run and won in America. You think the election coming up is big, and to be fair, it is, but I feel this may be bigger.
Okay.
The America's Fattest Bear competition for the year 2020. It happened overnight. We have a winner. We have a fat bear.
Okay, first and foremost, what's the critique? Like, are they voting for the fattest, or is it some other, like the most, like all of them are fat, and then some of them are more attractive, some of them have a higher IQ, some of them have been to uni.
No.
No?
No, they are voting for the fattest.
Well, that's not really a voting system, isn't that just...
What do you mean it's not a voting system?
Well, like, you can just weigh them.
Have you ever seen a bear? I mean, if you want to get close to a bear with some scales, be my guest.
That's fair. Okay, right. So this is purely out of cowardice.
Yes.
That people are voting for fat bears instead of actually testing it.
Yes.
Okay, fair enough.
So, Simo, this took place in a national park in Alaska in America. Over several days, the national park found 12 of its fattest bears and pitted them against each other in a knockout competition. So one would go up against the other, the winner would go up against someone else, and so on, so on, so
in
on.
In a voting system.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's like a round robin kind of finals.
Yeah, yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Until we got to the final, which was contested between Bear 747 and Bear 32.
Oh, legit. Do they give them names? Or do they just give them numbers?
No, they just give them numbers.
That's awful.
Well... Technically fat-shaming bears, which is probably great as well.
True, the whole thing is pretty piss poor.
But enjoyable.
Yeah, that's very true. Also, what were the numbers?
So Bear 747 and Bear 32.
747. That's very catchy. 747.
Is a jumbo jet, if that's what you're thinking.
Yeah.
I know that number from somewhere.
So, yeah, so clearly he's a big boy too.
Well, who do you reckon would have won? It was a Bear 32 or was it Bear 747?
Well, I think from a marketing perspective for this wilderness park, they probably should have gifted it to 747.
And they did. Bear 747.
Well done.
Takes out the crown.
All right.
Well done.
Nice.
Well done. I doff my hat to you from a safe distance because even though you're fat, you can still run quite quickly.
Well done to that bear. 747, he's probably got himself a sponsorship with Qantas now. We're not going to have the kangaroo on the tail anymore.
You're just going to have a fat bear. Don't think that's probably best for fuel economy, but anyway.
That's true.
I've got some quotes here from a park ranger, if you're interested.
Yeah, of course.
So he has said, talking about Bear 747, the fat one.
Yep. The big boy.
He is the fattest and largest bear I've ever seen. I feel kind of special and privileged to witness a bear as big as he is.
Yeah, right. Okay.
That was Mike Fitz, who is a park ranger.
See, he gets a name. He's not Park Ranger 26.
Yes, because he's a human. He's not a bear.
Bears...
You about to say bears are humans too, but then you realise, no, they're not.
That I just feel like they should have an identity. Like, you never grew up with pets, so you don't understand.
No.
So, same thing, like, I grew up around cattle. You give, like, your steers and your bulls names. I just think it's a bit... But 747 being the biggest bear of all...
I mean, it's pretty obvious, it's, Jumbo.
Yeah.
I mean, would you want that name?
Yeah, that's pretty good. I rate that.
Okay, well, we'll give him Jumbo. And then Bear 32, the runner-up,
And also...
Cessna.
I love the idea of 747 Jumbo, like him getting introduced to a new bear social group.
Yeah.
Like all his mates are telling the new ones, like, oh, you're going to love Jumbo. He's really cool. And people probably think it's an ironic nickname because you know how Biggie is normally someone that's really tiny. Or like, you know, Big Matty is actually only 5'6". And everyone's like, oh, can't wait to meet Jumbo. And he is actually gargantuan.
I know. And they walk in, it's like, all right, we are going to need more Doritos for this bear party.
Simo and Jordan.
And a very expensive, I don't know if it's a piece of equipment, has been purchased.
You take my money.
It is a dinosaur. It's not an exoskeleton, but it's a complete dinosaur.
Like the skeleton of a dinosaur.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yes, indeed. And its name is Stan.
Okay.
So in recognition of the guy who found it, his name was Stan too.
What type of dinosaur is it? Is it
T-Rex?
Okay, so it's the good one.
It's the scary one.
I mean, it's the...
Look at this.
When you think
beast.
Dinosaurs, it's the one you think. But yeah. I remember I was watching Walking with Dinosaurs, I think it's called, or whatever that...
My little brother was really into that one.
I remember watching that back in the day, and there's some dinosaur that just waddles around the forest floor.
Yeah.
eating poo or something like that. And it's
okay.
Like, that's not the cool, that's not the dinosaur you want.
Yeah, Jurassic Park is the one that you want.
Yeah, if the next Jurassic Park is about some dinosaur that's about 2 foot tall eating poo.
Not as interesting, right?
Yeah.
So the dinosaur skeleton, it's the full Jurassic Park logo. I mean, it's a complete head as well. Like, this thing is, it's 130-odd bones all put together.
Wow.
So pretty impressive. Another thing that's impressive is that, including its head, 188 bones it was total, it's in pristine condition and has 11-inch long teeth.
Right.
So no need to boast about its 11 inches, but obviously that's pretty impressive.
Is that impressive for T-Rexes? Maybe it's not.
For teeth, I imagine mine aren't that long.
Yeah, but you're not a T-Rex.
I wish I was. but I'd be dead because this thing has been, what? It's been exterminated about how many millions of years of age?
The dinosaurs died a long time ago. That's what we can establish here.
Well, they dug it up in 1987.
Yeah.
So that was a little while ago, before my time.
So you said that this has been sold. Aren't these things like normally in museums?
That was my thinking as well.
It's not like you pop round to a mate's house and it's just got an actual like dinosaur sculpture in his living room.
Yeah. Well, if he did, you'd have questions.
Yeah. I mean, it would certainly be worth an Instagram.
Where'd you pick this up? Is this a garage sale? Is this?
Yeah, you'd never believe what you can buy online these days.
Actually, it was IKEA. It came in a separate flat pack situation. I lost the Allen key.
Yeah.
But
it seems to work fine.
So they were expecting it to sell for around $8 million.
Which is quite a lot.
Quite a lot of money. And it's 67 million years old.
Okay.
Which is ridiculous for how good a condition it is in.
Do you reckon they're just trying to flip those numbers around? Yeah, it's 8 million years old and it's going to sell for 65 million. That's how much you owe us.
It's like watching an episode of American Pickers. I'll give you $200. And it's like, no.
No.
So what has happened is it has ended up selling at the, you know, the, what do they say, in the final minutes, in injury time, in the overtime, it has sold from an anonymous caller. So, like,
oh, my God.
So auction is, like, just about finished. Ring, ring. And the phone has gone off, and it was due to be sold for $8 million, and they put down $34 million. So that makes you question if, like, if someone wants something that bad to go over double the price.
Well, go quadruple the price.
Yeah.
Almost, trying to work out my maths. I don't know. The first thing that came into my mind when you said that.
Yes.
2020's been an odd year.
It has been. I had a similar thought.
If ever there was a time for, like, an evil supervillain like the ones you see in the movies to try and take over the world, this would be the year.
Yeah, I assume
And what
so.
Would look perfect in your evil supervillain
lair? The lair. That's the key word there.
This guy is staying anonymous who's bought it. Just saying.
He's clearly got internet connection and phone connection in his lair, though.
I mean, it's 2020. Everyone's got that.
But in the lair, you know, so it's pretty good.
It's probably faster than the NBN as well.
And to be honest, lairs are probably where dinosaurs belong.
And lairs are probably where it's going to be safe.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
And Simo, your family background is German, is that correct?
Yes, Deutschland.
You were born here in Australia, but your kind of family and all that sort of stuff.
Baden-Württemberg is where my mothership is, like ancestrally.
Is that an actual place?
What do you mean, Baden-Württemberg?
Yeah. I don't know. It feels like something that you just made up.
It feels made up.
Yeah.
Yeah. It does, but it's not. It's real.
Well, Simo, the reason I want to talk about Germany is because a story happened in Germany that caught my attention.
Right. Whereabouts?
This happened in
Hamburg, Baden-Württemberg.
Freiburg.
Oh, Freiburg. Yep. Big fan.
Again, it feels like you've only heard that name for the first time.
No, they've got a big bird on their, like, city coat of arms.
I mean, there's no way of me, well, there isn't a way of me checking it, Googling it, but I'm not going to.
That's true. Check it.
Well, Simo, this story involved the Freiburg police who were called to respond to a home on Wednesday.
Okay.
When a female resident reported that a 10-inch Chinese mitten crab had wandered inside her house.
So a Chinese crab has broken into a German house.
Well, look, I don't know if it was broken in because the crab just wandered straight through an open door.
Oh, okay, right. So,
which is certainly unlawful entry.
Unlawful entry of a crab.
But, you know, it didn't have to, like, smash a window or anything like that to get in.
Also, Chinese crab in Germany. How did it get there?
Well, I mean, I would have thought you would have known, being the German expert, but...
I'm not a Chinese crab expert.
Well, maybe you should be.
So it's a bit of a swim.
No, Chinese mitten crabs, they're an invasive species and are known to live in some German rivers.
Oh, okay.
However, this is the first time that a crab has been found in this particular area in Freiburg.
Was it the Rhine? What river?
Stop. You stop saying German things.
You got no way of checking. It's great.
I know.
Oh, dear.
But imagine if you were a police officer and you got called to this woman's home. Mm. You know, it's not a stereotypical phone call for the cops to get, I assume.
Do I have a gun or do I have a taser?
I don't know. What do German police carry? You would know.
I feel like I've got a taser. Taser and a baton. Yeah.
I feel like this crab, it's only 10 inches, so it's not like a massive crab. It's not like it's attacking anyone with its laser beams. It's just kind of being a crab. I feel to go and taser the crab, maybe animal cruelty.
Nah, it's a crustacean.
Yeah, it's still animal cruelty.
Regardless, do you call the police? Why are you calling the police?
I mean, that's what this woman did.
Yeah, rookie move. That's got to be animal handling. Because if I'm a police officer, I am obviously, like you say, I'm carrying the wrong equipment.
I mean, I've got a taser, I've got handcuffs, yeah. But I mean, I don't know how that would work with the claws.
None of that's going to work.
You know, I've got pepper spray, but...
Yeah.
I don't know. This woman, however...
Because crabs are already salty boys. All they need is a bit of added pepper and they'll be ready to be cooked.
Well, this woman did actually manage to contain the crab. Before the police arrived.
Was it in a container?
You're not far off. The way that she contained the crab, and this is if ever a Chinese mitten crab should wander into your house, Simo... And you wonder, how am I going to contain it?
I'll commit this to memory.
Simply get an empty rubbish bin and put it upside down on top of the crab. Problem solved!
Yeah, well done.
Simo and Jordan.
Things, we've been getting steamy all week. I've had a few hot stories.
Yes, it's been a... sexy kind of week.
Because there were those onions that got banned from Facebook for being too aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah, so just quickly with that, someone took a picture of onions for whatever reason, posted it on Facebook, and Facebook banned it, thinking that was some kind of dirty sexual image in some way.
And this is, rather than banning those onions, this is what social media should ban. This has gone viral overnight.
Okay.
Because someone has written a coronavirus, what do they call it? Like erotic novel.
Like a 50 Shades of Grey, but about the coronavirus.
Yep, it is 16-page ebook. It's available on your Amazon. It's been rated...
It's not quite as long as 50 Shades of Grey.
It's a 4 out of 5 as well. Don't know how they manage that.
Okay.
So well done to them.
Yeah.
So would you like... I've got the blurb. Would you...
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, all right.
Well, what's it called, first off?
Kissing the Coronavirus.
Which is not something doctors recommend you doing.
At all. So, the blurb reads... I'm going to try and get through this. It's just so stupid. All right. She was supposed to cure the coronavirus. Instead, she fell in love with it. Dr. Alexa Ashington Ford is part of a crack team of scientists tasked with finding the cure to the devastating coronavirus. Little did she know she would end up falling in love with it in this steamy viral erotica. Kissing the Coronavirus is a steamy tale about forbidden love and dark desires to come to life.
All right, Simo, you know me. I'm not going to read the book.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm not going to read the book, but when a movie is made about kissing the coronavirus...
Yes.
...who is going to play the coronavirus?
Well, actually, would you like a bit more detail about
Is there more?
Well, would you like to know how she manages to fall in love with a virus?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, keep going, yeah.
Because it takes physical form. So
the virus, which is not what has happened in real life...
...becomes a man.
Okay.
So when a trial vaccine is injected into a fellow scientist, he dies and becomes the virus in human form.
Right.
Leaving the good doctor overcome with desire.
Okay.
So that's how it comes about.
All right, so we got a female lead and a male lead who will become the coronavirus.
That's right. He looks a bit like the Hulk, but not giant. He's green.
All right.
Okay, so there's...
Well, that's just judging from that drawing over there. I mean, we could literally go anywhere with this movie.
Very true, very true.
All right, the female lead, who is the doctor who falls in love with the coronavirus. Mm. Who are you thinking?
Yeah, you got to have... I mean, Scarlett Johansson's been overused of recent times.
Good actress, though.
Is it just a cop-out to then cast Scarlett Johansson as Dr. Alexa Ashington Ford and then just the Hulk actor Mark Ruffalo as the coronavirus. Is that a cop-out? Because they're already in love in the Avengers.
I reckon that would be a good movie. Yeah. However,
yeah,
female lead playing the Doctor.
Yep.
I reckon one of the either Courtney Cox or Lisa Kudrow, the two from Friends that aren't Jennifer Aniston.
I like the Courtney Cox idea. I'm with you right there.
Because, I mean, I haven't seen her in movies recently.
You reckon she's out of work?
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll just cast her in this and just do a check to make sure she's okay at the same time. And then playing the coronavirus, yep, playing the Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is... I don't want to, you know, blow one's own trumpet.
Are they yourself?
But no, not me.
Okay, right.
Not me.
I was so confused.
But Simo,
yeah,
imagine this. Female Doctor being played by Courtney Cox.
Yes.
Male Doctor who turns into the coronavirus. Mr. Bean.
Oh, yeah.
Old mate that plays Rowan Atkinson, I think his name is.
That's got to be that you...
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
Something which is new that is going down in the White House is affecting the media area of the White House.
Oh, no.
So, like, whenever you're watching, like, the TV news and there's journos standing at the front of the White House, it's that part of the White House in America that is being affected.
Yeah, okay.
Simo, there's no other way of saying this, but aggressive raccoons are invading the media area of the White House.
Out of control at the White House? No, not just coronavirus, raccoons. There's an invasion crawling around the media cables on the White House lawn, sniffing at bags of gear.
Is there food in there?
Making a beeline for CNN's Joe Johns in the middle of a live shot.
Get! There he is. Rah!
Now, I'm not an expert on scaring raccoons off.
Yeah.
But yelling out, get and rah! I mean, apparently it works.
Have you done any research? I don't know anything about raccoons.
No, I don't either.
I've notoriously got them mixed up in the past.
Okay.
Because there is... Because I was trying to think of... There's no famous raccoons. You know how normally, for instance...
I think there is, isn't there?
No, there... Well, there isn't.
To Google!
No, because I got it mixed up last time we brought up raccoons, right?
Yeah.
There's Sylvester...
That's, I think, who I was thinking
of. Yeah, he's not a raccoon. He's the stinky ones. What are they?
Skunk.
Yeah, he's not a raccoon.
Okay, I've just Googled famous raccoons.
Yeah, there is none. The closest one you get is voiced by... Who's the bald guy from Die Hard?
Willis?
Bruce Willis.
Bruce Willis.
The most famous raccoon out there, he plays a raccoon in Over the Hedge. I reckon that's as famous as you'll get out of raccoons.
I've got I just Googled fictional raccoon or famous raccoons.
Yeah, what do
you
got?
And I've come up with a list of fictional raccoons.
Yeah.
And it says, how many do you know?
None.
Joey? No.
Nope.
Miko?
Nah.
Rascal?
Nah.
RJ?
Is that the one from Over the Hedge?
I think that's the one from Over the Hedge.
Yes, we got one!
Pinch? Seriously, there's a famous raccoon whose just name is Raccoon. So, I mean, not even the writers of whatever movie he's in didn't even think of a fun name for him.
I feel like, so now that we've got the White House raccoons, they're making a play for fame.
Yeah.
I assume they've got their own Instagram account by this point.
Well, I don't know. If it hasn't, let's get on to that.
Because, you know, there's a spot there. All we need to do is overtake RJ, who clearly should have been number one on that list.
Yeah.
As voiced by Bruce Willis.
Okay.
Some of his best work.
I didn't realise this was such a sore spot for you. He should be number one on the list of famous raccoons.
Well, because have you heard of any of the other ones?
Well, no.
Of course, you've heard of him.
Well, yeah, but just because you mentioned that he was in that movie.
Yeah, but that's enough.
Anyway, I've now heard of these raccoons that are invading the White House. Maybe, what do you reckon their names would be? Ex-presidents?
That's an option.
George... Barack.
That would freak him out. That would freak out DJ Trump. If you told him that there was a raccoon in the White House called Barack, he'd be like, I'm moving out. Well, yes, we're going to vote you out.
Simo and Jordan.
This is the end, but only of today's podcast. And remember, don't move toward the light.
No, go toward the light.
No, don't go toward the light.
You've got to go toward the light.
Don't listen to him.
Yes.
Shut up.
Right.
To hear Simo and Jordan live, join them for Takeaway, on air weeknights from 7 across the Capital Radio Network.
Yeah, that should do it.